All right, Father, we just come to you this morning. We're thankful for this beautiful day we have to enjoy, and just for your mercy, your grace, just for this covenant relationship we have that was just all brought about from you. And so even as we enjoy that, Lord, though, we want to live lives that please you, bring honor to you. And so we just learn even more detail about you and what your characters are like so that we can, Lord, use your spirit to empower us to take on that character. And Lord, that our lives would be changed through that. And even those that are around us would see what a great God we have by the work of your spirit in our lives. So we just give this time to you. We're thankful for the facility that we have to meet in, the freedoms that we enjoy to do it. And we just know that all comes from you, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm just going to do a little bit of an overview of this chapter. And since Jeff is out, Jeff is out and absent this week. Had to get that in there, Jeff. But no, he'll be back next week, and he's going to teach the next 3 weeks. So y'all can enjoy. Jeff's done a good job teaching this year. I really have enjoyed his work in this class. But the practice of godliness, and we're going to cover the character trait that is peace. We see our focus verse here is out of Romans 12:18, which says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So that's really hard, isn't it? Sometimes you have a neighbor or somebody you work with, and that's like, pardon me, a spouse, right? A spouse. I'm going to move a little closer. Y'all just keep moving farther back. That's. But this morning, we're going to head down the home stretch in our journey on this this book, The Practice of Godliness. You remember that there's kind of these character traits are broken down into three sections. One that primarily deals with our relationship with God. One that deals with our relationship with ourselves. And then others. So this is the first of six character traits that primarily deals with others. But peace is an interesting character trait compared to the others because, if you will, it's threefold. We have peace with God, we have peace within ourselves, and we're able to have peaceful relationships with others. So it really encompasses the whole thing, the full aspect of that. So these expressions of peace are not separate, but instead related. It is the peace that only God can give. So I just want to start with a question. And that question is, what is it that causes you to be not at peace in your life? What peace? I mean, it's easy to look at our society, isn't it? And see what a mess and how that people are lacking peace in their life. But even as Christians, things can distract us very easily or cause problems with our peace. What do you say about that? What are the things that you have found yourself that will cause you to not be at peace? And I just want to say on the beginning, isn't it the smallest of things that can do it? My goodness.
Well, I think the umbrella is sin. Within that umbrella, yes, you have fear, disobedience of whatever kind. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yes, it does. Jack, you had a comment.
Well, I was just going to say, for me, looking at myself, I can see it relates to a lack of trust in God.
Yes.
If I trust Him, I'm at peace. So I tend to trust Him more than I used to.
You build a little momentum in that, don't you? Right. You do. Yes, Paige.
I hate to follow mine with that, but because sometimes there's what I know, and I know that I know that I know, about God's truth and about He's trustworthy and He's faithful, and He has my best interest at heart and all that kind of stuff. So that I know those things, but that sometimes my physical body doesn't go along with that. And so I'll feel that, whatever that is, that anxiousness, that my physical body does not come alongside what I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just...
I'm with you.
Yeah. That's right on. And that is so much the process of the Christian life, you know, that we have to deal with that. And some people definitely, don't you find this to be true? There are some people that deal with fear and anxiety way more than others. And it can be a little bit of the way their personality is made. My son, for one, is, some bad stuff can be going on, and he's just not anxious. I mean, it's bizarre sometimes. I want to say, like, hey, you need to be a little upset about it. You know, but you're not being concerned enough, I don't think. But it's just how he is. But he does trust God a lot in his life, and that is something that I've noticed about him. And sometimes I desire for there to be more trust with myself. And I remember one particular incident. Well, I was in my early 30s, and I had a partner in my business who had embezzled money, a good sum of money, out of the company, and the documents that I signed, I had the purchase of the business was actually from his father, so I found a small amount, and then I found this big amount, and it had gone on for a period of time. And so I had to wait about a year and a half for the sale of the business to be complete before I could really act on it. So the theft continued even during that time. That was a very, very difficult time. And I got close to the end of it, and we would have a resolution to it. We were going to meet, kind of confront. And I just remember thinking, I'm not going to have there's the possibility that I'm going to walk away with this with nothing. I'm not even going to have a job. I mean, you just start thinking about all these things that could happen. And I remember that I drove out to Waterwood. I was in my truck, and I was praying about it. And you know how the deal goes, right? You go, God, look, I'm just going to trust you in this. And then you go, what, maybe a tenth of a mile? And you're back. And you're right back. And you go, Lord, no, this time I kind of mean it. I mean it this time. And I just remember that I came back from Waterwood and I got to that corner at 980 and Highway 19. And I just said, Lord, no, look, I'm not going to do this. I've got to have peace about it. I know, I trust that you're going to take care of me. You always have. And I'm just going to put my trust in you. I'm not going to be anxious about this. And man, a peace just came into my life. I was able to be kind and considerate to the person that had been ugly to me. He had allowed me to be, as far as it depended on me, to be at peace, right? And that is so important that Christians, but look, that's not what we see in our society. Anxiety is at a level that I don't believe, Todd, right? It's unreal. It's just unbelievable.
The amount of diagnosed stuff is off the chart, but even all the undiagnosed is, yeah. We got kids, yeah, what, 20 years old, and I'm almost like, what do you have to be worried about? You don't know.
Right.
So
I know.
They're just so, yeah. Poor guys. They didn't, you know, they just didn't have the family support. They didn't have all the
Paige kind of brought it up, but what impact does anxiety have on a person's life? I mean, yes, Rick.
We went to see that movie, Jesus
Revolution.
Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing movie. I recommend it. Anybody that hadn't seen it ought to go see it. And one of the things that became abundantly clear to me was the people of that day, the young people, were looking for truth. And when you look at our society today, how much truth is gone?
Yes.
I mean, we don't trust the media, we don't trust our government. You know, you just look at things and you say, well, that's not true.
Yes.
And so this creates a lot of anxiety and stress on people. And the further we get away from the truth, and this morning I was watching Fox News, and the mayor of New York City, a Democrat, said, when in 1960, I think it was, we took prayer out of school. And he said, when the prayers went out, the guns came in. Mm-hmm. And he said, we have taken the heart out of man, and man dies without a heart. And, you know, the Democrats were furious at him. You know, the ACLU and the liberals.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, here is a Democratic mayor of New York City saying, you know, we've gone away from God.
You're absolutely all over that, Rick. That is exactly right. We have had, in our society, we have had the removal of objective truth and inputted subjective truth. And look, that does not help anybody in any way. It causes great fear.
We're having in colleges.
Oh, yeah. Asbury.
So many colleges.
It's amazing to see, isn't it?
The kids are still looking for
they
truth.
They are.
I may not use that phrase now, but they're still
that's looking. That's what they're always looking for.
Because, the progressive philosophy teaches you that all truth is a social construct.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is just constructed by your little social group. That just doesn't hold water.
No, it doesn't. It does not. Bernie, you had a comment?
What Rick was saying... that is the this is what we see. But if we really examine ourselves, the reason why we don't have peace, because we have doubts that God is not taking care of stuff, that
yes.
He's in charge. Like you were saying, your son, sometimes you wonder, hey, we're more anxious, you know? Well, if you really analyze it to the core, to the depths, it is, as a Christian, or people look at somebody and say, you're worried, you're callous, you're just mean. No, I'm not. I'm just not worried about it because I know who's controlled. That's kind of rude. No, it's not. I mean, you know, why should I worry about something I
can't control?
Can't control. And to some people, it would be kind of like mean and vicious. It's not. It's just, hey, I'm happy. Well, the world is falling. Well, read the Psalms. World is falling around you.
Yes.
10,000, but you won't be touched. What happened if you die? Well, I'm better off.
I'm going to be better off. Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Where I think a lot of fear and anxiety comes in is when we're doubting God's ability to take care of us, and we trust more our own ability. And that creates a major problem with peace.
Yeah.
Jack, first, now come right back.
When this COVID thing started,
mm-hmm.
I had to self-examine myself and in prayer and self-examination. I finally came to the conclusion, it came to me, especially how it was affecting the church we were going through. And I came to the conclusion, you know, I'm a born-again child of God. Nothing comes into my life that He doesn't bring or allow.
Right.
And,
amen,
so,
brother.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. I think that I'm going to show some statistics here in just a second, and I think those statistics are kind of pre-COVID. I can tell you, beyond that, you know, there has been a lot more anxiety that has happened. Paige, you had a comment.
I wonder, it's just a thought, I wonder if the fear is not so much that you don't trust God, it's just that you're worried that His plan is going to hurt.
Well, sometimes, yeah. I remember as a kid, you know, in a Baptist church you grew up, I was always afraid God was going to call me off to missionary work somewhere else. You know, just how silly you are as a kid, right? But look, here's some worldwide anxiety statistics. An estimated 264 million adults have anxiety. That's by the WHO and not the musical group. From 2017. 63 were female of the 63% of these were female and 37% male, according to Our World in Data. And the prevalence of all mental disorders increased by 50% worldwide, from 416 million to 615 million between 90 and 2013. And I'm going to tell you that I believe there's a common denominator in that statistic, because when you go from even here to 13 or to where we are right now, God has consistently been removed from our society, and it has brought a massive... the news cycle, the round-the-clock news that people, and you know, and it's a bling, breaking news, and it'll be something, so, but the theatrics of that, breaking news, Joe Biden had a snow cone. I mean, it'll be something like that, and you'd be like, that's not breaking news.
Yeah, it's all that, you know, earthquake here, somebody...
Yes.
They never do. Oh, breaking news. Really cool story.
Exactly.
This kid that went and helped somebody.
Right.
It's never anything good.
No. They stir up a lot of fear. Well, what happened here?
That's what drives our ratings.
There we go. This is anxiety in the United States. It's the most common mental disorder in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults, according to the Anxiety and Depression American Association. Okay, I didn't know there was one of those, but there is. And look, you have mild and moderate and serious. I mean, almost a quarter of those are serious impairment.
Well, once you get on an antidepressant pill that your doctor's going to push on you, you never get off of it.
Yeah.
It's too hard. You can't. Your body does not do well trying to come off of it, so you stay on it for years. So that's probably what part of the number is too.
It is. I do want to say this. I wish Jeff was here, because you know he could speak to this so well, and maybe he will next week. But there are some people that have a chemical issue, and they need some assistance with that to level that out. Cindy's mom is that way. She has a disease, dementia, with failure of her brain to be able to work, and it causes, because she can't remember things, it causes her to be very anxious, and medicine has helped her in that regard. It's just, it's something that she can't help, right? So we just see though over and over, but one thing that does that we kind of touched on, but it is a great source of lack of peace. And CF touched on this verse in Colossians, and I had never really understood that verse to that clarity that he brought about, that you let the peace of God rule. It's out of Colossians 3. But, I always thought about that ruling as reigning. Let peace reign in your life. But the way he described that is, it is such an indicator of what is going on. When you have anxiety instead of peace, then you need to stop and you need to say, like, hey, what could be going on here? I call this the deceptive sin cycle. This is something that I used out in prison. But when there is sin, you immediately will experience guilt. Or you could consider it like this, that there would be like a check engine light that would come on in your car, and you say, hey, that might indicate that there's a problem. So you need to dig into that. And if it's because of sin, if that guilt that pops up is not dealt with, what it's going to lead to is anxiety. And when that anxiety gets on you to a point, you're going to want to get out from under it. And when you get out from under it, you flee to something. And a lot of times what people flee to is something that is sinful. And whether that be alcohol or drugs or spending money or... And so instead of dealing with the issue to get peace back in your life, what you have is this deceptive sin cycle, thinking that this fleeing mechanism is going to make it better. It doesn't. It doesn't. It will not. You heading out, babe? All right, see you in a little bit. But here's what we have. This is the cycle. So sin, and you think about this peace with God, that there are a lot of people in our community, in our state, in our nation, across this globe, that do not have peace with God because of sin. They're outside of a covenant relationship with him. And of course, that would cause great anxiety and stress. So I want to look at some verses that really deal with and describe the need for, as we look at them, the need for peace and the means of peace with God. So if y'all have your Bibles handy, the first one we'll look at is Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. And I meant to bring some little pieces of paper and be more organized on that, and I didn't do it, so I apologize. And if y'all want, y'all can read them or I can go through them. I have a handout that I kind of wanted to go through as well today. So it says, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." So people that, you know, I didn't really, as a kid, I didn't think of it this way, but people that that are outside of a relationship with God are at war with him. They are his enemies. And let me tell you, that is not a comforting and peaceful place to be.
You know, in the New Living, in verse 20 there, where yours reads wicked, this reads for those who still reject me.
Mm.
So,
yes.
Yeah. And then in the 21st verse, it says, there's no peace for the wicked. But he's equating people that reject
the God. Same, right? Wicked. Yep, yeah. Same. Yes, excellent. Colossians 1, 21 through 23 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. Now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." Enemies of God was alienated, and enemies of God was our position, which would, as you could see, would bring about no peace in your life. A restless, like the tossing sea. I love that illustration in that first verse we read. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." The opposite, I mean, you see, you're dead in your transgressions, you're dead to God. It's a position of being an enemy of God. There's this great need for, and we see the means is just one. It's just Christ. That's the only means for peace with God. When we used to, Richard and I used to go out with overcomers, we would always, that was like the second lesson. You got these 12 steps. We summarized them. I've said that in here, that you get right with God, you get right with yourself, you get right with others, right? You can never be settled in your life till you answer that first, you get that straight in your life. This getting right with God. But what you really see from the scriptures is it is God that gets us right. He is the one that initiates peace and brings it to us. And oh, my goodness. I mean, it's because, I mean, Romans 3, 10 through 11 says, or I think it's in 11, it says, "There's none that seek after God." There are none that seek after him. So, oh, my God, it is God that initiates this peace. So Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I thought this one is a verse that brings great peace. Usually people think about this verse from the front end. You know, it's always kind of, whenever you're going through something difficult, somebody pops this verse on you, you know. But it's Romans 8, 28 through 31, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And then you get a real reason why we have peace in our lives. It's for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What a place of peace there is to know that God, with a rebellious, stiff-necked, disobedient, wicked people rejecting God, would initiate peace with us and draw us into a relationship with him where that issue is settled, and then we can work on that inner peace. He gives us all of those things, right, to work on. Last one is Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him," way, way, way back there. It was before the creation of the world, "to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Man, look, we're in a position before we come to Christ where we are in need of peace. We are sinners. I love the way CF breaks this down, that we are sinners by imputation. When you look at the scriptures that describe that we are all in Adam, look, Adam sinned and that was put to our account. You have the imputed sin of Adam that you're born with. And you also have the inherited sin of Adam, or if you will, the inherited sin nature that desires to sin. It's ready to run to it. You see it so quickly with your children. I mean, no is definitely one of the first words that they learn, right? No, stop that. Quit it. Put it down. But we also commit personal sin, and all of these work together to create this separation for God. No peace. We are his enemies. Oh, but God moves in and initiates peace with us and draws us into this loving relationship. And he does it so gently, doesn't he? I mean, our Savior is like nothing that this world has to offer. And he brings such peace to our lives. So we get to enjoy this peace for all eternity. But while we're here, this peace that we're going to study about will give us an inner peace, not anxiety. When you feel anxious, you know that is not coming from God. He is the God of peace. And not only that, he will give us the ability to have self-control and a heart that would work toward peace with others, as far as it is on our side. Because some people, you know, that was a big thing in the prison when you would look at verses like this. Well, what if somebody that you were odds with had passed away? What do you do about making peace there, right? What do you do about making amends in a situation like that? Or what if that other person, when you come to try to make peace, it makes it worse because they're ready to tear into you, as Roy D. Mercer says, like a mountain lion does a baby goat, you know, tear into you. That happens sometimes. You might have to return several times to that person, right? So just any comments that you guys would like to make about those verses. And it looks like I'm going to have plenty of handouts today. But or just how you have experienced the peace of God in your life. I gave y'all a situation. You know, I'll give you another one. You know, Cindy and I, it was remarkable to me the peace that we had through the journey with our daughter. That is something that I still think about. Just the goodness of God to walk through that and how He allowed us to be peaceful through that. And even her, she was such a fearful person. But through that process, she drew closer to God, and His peace was with her. And because that's as difficult a thing as I've experienced in my life. You know, losing one of your children is very difficult. And so, you know, you just have all of these examples that I know y'all have as well, where God has just, yes, Debbie.
Just a comment about peace, because I, when we're faced with things like that, mm-hmm. I think it starts with what we're thinking about. You know, I can get real worked up with usually things that are completely out of my control.
Yes.
And so at that point, am I going to stew over that and stay there, or am I going to go back to what I know is true from God's word and just really give it to Him, you know, and just claim Him as my Prince of Peace and sit in that. But that, to me, is a choice that we make of where we're going to sit, in anxiety or peace.
Hmm. My handout might even have something about that. That is great. Yes, Keith. And if we don't have time for it today, we'll do it another day. So,
kind of piggybacking off of that, the sin cycle.
Yes.
Guilt is actually a good thing. It can be a good thing.
Yes.
Because it, first of all, it allows you, I mean, it tells you that Holy Spirit's living within you and it's acting.
Amen.
It's convicting you of your sin, right? So that guilt is to force us to conviction, to confess that sin.
Yep.
And then not to go back and relive through that guilt. We have to trust in God's forgiveness so we can experience peace and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But if we circle back and just keep feeling guilty for the same sin,
yes,
then we get into that guilt-sin complex and spiral down and down. And we start, exhibiting fleeing mechanisms in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
For different reasons, but Proverbs 28:1, it says, you know, the wicked flee when no one pursues,
mm-hmm.
but the righteous stand bold as a lion.
Mm-hmm. Excellent verse.
So once we confess our sin and trust in the Lord's forgiveness, then we're able to experience peace, mm-hmm. and not be looking over our shoulder, or mm-hmm. you know, metaphorically speaking, but we're walking with the Lord. We're producing fruit of the Spirit. There's no wall against those things. So,
I think as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you do get more aware of those things coming into your mind, and you're going like, no, I'm going to stop that. That's not good. That if I let that grow, it's gonna cause me all kinds of anxious problems.
And I think there's a kind of a fine line between conviction and accusations. Conviction is from the Lord, and it's a good thing. It took me a long time to understand that accusations were from the enemy, that my sin had been covered and paid for. And yes, while I'm still going to wrestle, that conviction was to bring me to a place of peace, where accusation from the enemy wants to keep you in condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a long time to really wrestle through that, because I thought, well, God's, you know, I am guilty. He's just, you know, and I stayed in this horrible cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, Paige was with me when, like, it's a long story, but when the chains fell off and I finally understood it, it was like, oh my goodness, I can breathe, you know?
Yes.
It's a really sweet thing, which brings peace, you know, because I understood that my sin doesn't condemn me anymore because it's been paid for. And that came from the enemy, not from the Lord.
Well, Well, it's amazing the role that the Word of God plays in our peace. Because one thing, I just throw it out there. I mean, how much of a problem do you think self-thought, too much self-thought causes a person or its relationship to anxiety? What do you think about that? Self-thought and anxiety. How about how that relates?
A lot of Psalms, those are really helpful to me.
Yes.
Going through those a lot. Because, you know, sometimes God does things you really, really don't like. You don't,
right.
His plan is really different from what you're thinking. And, you know, so when we got initial diagnosis on Beth, I had about a week there and I was just not happy, right? I had to come to the point where I was like, okay, you know, I'm not in charge, you're in charge. If you want to kill her, you could do whatever you want. You know what you're doing. It's all good. After that, it was a lot smoother.
Yeah.
You know, because you just realize he's in charge. It's okay. But he knows what he's doing. I don't like that. But, you know, I mean, the sovereignty is comforting, but it's also sometimes a challenge.
It is.
Right?
Definitely is.
So you have to be in that right place. Yeah, you have to have the Word in there. You have to, you know, be on that side to realize, even if his plan is really different from what I want, you got to know it's way better. Because I'm so small. There's so much I don't know. Like, you know.
And the quicker those thoughts are caught, the less anxiety you're going to have. God expects us to take and capture, Jeff talked about that under self-control, that we're to capture thoughts that are not good, and we're to replace them. We're to confess that those thoughts are not good, and we're to move across and start inputting God's Word. Because, look, man, I'm probably the only one in here that has this, but typically a person has some insecurities. Right? And you deal with those insecurities, and man, they crop up all the time, those thoughts about that. I've gotten a lot better at shutting those down and going like, man, there's nothing good going to be in my life from listening. And look, those thoughts come out of that old nasty flesh we still have in us. They drive up out of that, and it wants to be way too concerned with ourselves.
I think sometimes, you know, I think over and over in Scripture we see, remember, remember, remember. And so, I don't know if y'all experience this, but a lot of times in the middle of mess where I'm not feeling so much at ease, if I have that thought process of the Lord, I've seen it in my life, I've seen it in other lives, that sometimes all this mess is just a redirect for
yes.
His plan versus mine.
Yes.
And so then, you know, am I going to let the anxiety of what I am perceiving overshadow what I know God is doing? I may not see what He's doing, but He is working. And so that has helped me remember that He's always been faithful in the past.
Yes.
And He's working right now.
And, right, you know, it's helpful to me to think of His power. You think of the God that created this world, that far beyond that, right? Far beyond that. But you take the human body, for example. The eye is so complex. It is unbelievable, the detail and power it took to create the human eye. And then we have trouble releasing control to God. I mean, it's just so silly how we think. And but I think a lot of times, you know, growing up, I just never really got the instruction of really that there is a mechanical way that God is given. There's an orderly fashion to how He's given you to deal with these different things that come up, you know, such as thoughts that are not good. You got to stop them. You cannot let them progress. You have to realize that that's bad, confess it, repent from it, and then immediately begin to pour the truth into your life, the truth about God, the truth about us. And, you know, Todd, to your point, you know, you just say, because what a lot of people would do is what they do is questions God's goodness in those kind of moments that you are in. But when you stop that progression and then you understand how gracious and good God is, how he is and how he has been to us, his faithfulness is so important, like you're talking about, Paige. These things, we have to put those things in our mind. And it is a discipline. It is just a discipline to do that. But it produces a fruit, and that fruit is peace and joy and love and kindness and goodness and contentment. Just all of these things that God wants our life to have is enjoyment, and at the same time, we would be honoring him and bringing glory to him. What a gracious God, man. Any other comments? Yes, Rick.
When we look at that guilt thing, mm-hmm. one of the things that I see in myself, sometimes there's things in your life that you used to feel guilty about that you kind of sear your conscience on,
mm-hmm.
and you no longer Definitely. Feel guilty about it. So you have to kind of self-examine once in a while and think, have I just gotten to the point where I just don't even pay attention to that anymore?
Yes.
And when somebody else is sinning against you, you have to cut them a little slack because maybe they seared their conscience mm-hmm. in that area.
Look, exactly. We want to act in a way that's peaceful. And even to the point of when we have to go and we have to speak to someone else about sin, there's a way to do that peacefully. And it isn't by, talking to them about a speck when you got a log in yours, right? I mean, there is a proper way to humbly approach somebody in a loving way, and the result is usually much different. They might twist off for a little bit, and they might come back and say, you know what, you're right. But see, that is a peaceful way to behave with others, is to let them know. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, is what the scripture teaches, because you wouldn't let somebody just continue on in a way that's harmful for their life, but instead to bring peace. Yes.
I'll just say, now I've not walked through all of the life experiences yet. But
yeah, we're kind of old, is what you're saying. No, I picked up on that.
As the Lord takes us down, but something that was kind of meaningful for me in the last 2 years was to realize that just because, you know, you're asking for that peace, God gives that peace, doesn't mean it's still not a stressful situation. You know, and looking at, you know, our Savior when he was in the garden, he said,
yes,
you could let this cup pass from me, but not my will, you know, but your will. And he still sweat drops of blood.
He sure did.
Medically, they say, was a high stress situation. So
yes,
he was being obedient. He was following the Lord. You know, I'm sure he had peace in his spirit, but it was still a stressful situation, you know. And so it was kind of, I don't know, it was a good distinction for me to realize that you can have that peace. Mm-hmm. You cannot be anxious over it, but it's still a difficult situation.
No,
you know, it doesn't make it easy. And
exactly
I think in my mind, I thought, oh, the peace means everything's hunky-dory, you know, it's nice and easy now.
Right.
That's not the reality of it. And it also freed me from feeling, you know, if the Lord wasn't sinning, when it was still a hard situation for him, then I'm not necessarily sinning through lack of trust or something, but it's still a hard situation.
Look, it can still, going through those kinds of difficulties can still take a toll on your body. I had this conversation with my doctor. I just recently had a physical, and I feel like in many ways the toll that that time with Jen took on Cindy and I, seemed like our diet wasn't the best. We were trying to walk through that in a godly way, but I'm going to tell you, it still took a toll on us mentally and emotionally and physically. Difficulty is still difficulty, or we'd have a different word for it, right? Trials and difficulty. But you're right, it's still that the body has a response to that. But internally, we can still have peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about that same example many times. And like, Jesus, when you're sweating drops of blood, that is some serious anguish and stress, isn't it? But man, he didn't yield in any way. You know, we cave in over some pretty small little moments sometimes, you know, but. Any final comments, or we're going to close it, and we'll save the handout for another day. The handout. I'll give you a little peek of it, though, okay?
Ooh.
So, it is. It's you see the HVAC. Yeah. It's like an electrical diagram, like a schematic. Okay, so I hope y'all will look past that and at least try to view what's on there. Well, let's close in prayer. Y'all are great. I appreciate your comments so much. Y'all add so much to, just the overall class in terms of what we, in perspective and experience. So thank you so much. Father God, we just come to you today just so thankful for the peace we have that was initiated by you, Lord. And you warn us to not live in anxiety and fear and stress, but instead in peace. And so we just want to just thank you so much for that. You did come to give us life and give it to the full, an abundant, rich life with you. And Lord, even might we be conscious about being peaceful with others. Since you have initiated peace with others and given us this inner peace, oh, might we be marked as a people that would be willing to make peace with others and to share about the good news of Jesus with others. And even our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we would be at peace with them. So we just thank you again for this study and what we're learning. But mostly we just thank you that we have a God that is so personal, so great and awesome, and yet so personal with us to allow us to cast our cares upon him. So we just say again today, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.